So hello everyone, and welcome to Polygon Alpha. This is where we source questions from the Polygon community to gain insights from today's leaders in DeFi, Web3, and crypto. I'm your host, Justin Havens, aka Crypto Texan, and on today's show, we are joined by Daffy from SureYield and Mai from Curvance. Daffy, Chris, thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on as well.
Yep. And so today is going to be a little bit more of a panel discussion, touching on two trending topics in the crypto space in this bull market. Number one is kind of AI's integration with DeFi. And then also we're going to touch on number two, cross-chain interoperability. But before we get started on those topics and getting into, you know, the weeds and all the alpha from SureYield and Curvance, let's just do some brief intros from Daffy and Chris. Daffy, let's start with you, just maybe a little bit of your background and then your role at SureYield.
Thanks, Justin. So my name's Daffy. On Web3, I go by the name of Dead Poet. You know, in case you guys know, that's the movie called Dead Poet Society. Huge fan of the movie. So my background is I've been in the tech space as a pre-sales for the past 15 years, providing software developments for telecommunications companies. I'm based over in Singapore. We do have a global team over in SureYield. We've got folks from Romania, where our founder is from. We got the lead of operation from France. We have guys from Toronto and also from the US as well. So that's just a bit of a background on the team and where we stand.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Daffy. And Chris, a.k.a. Mai, a little background on you and your role at Curvance, please.
Sure. So before crypto, I worked in traditional finance as what they would call like a quant, which basically would be like a data scientist. So I worked at hedge funds, asset managers, things like that, both on like the investment side, building like algorithms for investment, and then also in trading on basically trade execution quality. So, you know, how do you sell $1 billion of bonds without like moving the market as much as you maybe otherwise would with poor execution? How do you, you know, get the best price without leaking information, like those different types of things? So, I did that for a number of years and started building Curvance just under 2 years ago now. So pretty long development cycle, but a lot of the stuff we're trying to tackle is very ambitious problems. So takes a while. My role, I guess you could call me like, you know, one of the architects. I also manage the technology side. So I built, wrote about 75% of the code base myself. I manage the team and we're contracted to build the Curvance protocol for the 2B Curvance DAO. So very very exciting. Last 2 years here really kind of starting with humble beginnings and growing the scale and scope of Curvance into what it is today.
That's amazing. And thanks, Daffy and Chris, for those introductions. And now let's go a little bit further and talk about the projects that y'all are working with. And I know that y'all kind of touched on this a little bit already, but Daffy, you know, what is SureYield? Just like very, very briefly. I know there's an AI component here and AI being integrated into DeFi protocols is a trend that we're starting to see. So I was wondering if you could just kind of like explain what SureYield is to our audience.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. So at its core, SureYield is actually a yield farming provider. So we are not your traditional yield farming platform where, you know, we have tokens, reward tokens. What we do exactly is we provide our AI managed liquidity protocol that to actually manage your V3 pools. So instead of like running scripts, with very fixed, parameters to define the range of the liquidity pool, what we do is We have an AI on the server side that has reinforcement learning integrated into it. And the reinforcement learning actually basically takes in all the data, like the Uniswap volumes, you're talking about the depth of the liquidity, current price, and you know TWAPs and stuff. And then from there, it basically it manages the range as tightly as possible with the objective to maximize returns and to minimize impermanent loss. So in essence, this is what ShareYield does. And the AI liquidity management protocol is the backbone that builds into ShareYield.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating to me to start to see these types of integrations. And I also think like the word AI can just be a very big buzzword on marketing a lot of the times, where you know I've seen like toothbrushes in the store that say now with AI, and like I don't really even know what that means. And I think, you know, something that you and I have talked about before, Dafi, is like when projects are talking about integrating AI, are they really integrating artificial intelligence, or are they just, or is it just an algorithm, right? Because I think that to some lay people, like there might not be that much of a difference there, but there is a fundamental difference there. And I'm wondering like how you think about, you know, the differences between like, is it really AI or just an algorithm when it comes to like the marketing of these types of projects?
Yeah, exactly, Justin. To be honest, it's not just a problem on Web3, but it's also a huge problem on Web2 as well. You know, where AI itself has become almost like a marketing term. You know, anything that is algorithm, anything that, you know, that, you know, you have data, they call it AI, you know. And to be honest, the one fundamental way to differentiate whether a product actually utilize AI, you need to ask them whether what kind of models are they using. You know, are they using like for us, we're using reinforcement learning model. You know, are they using like a reactive model, or you know, like for example, generative models. You know, so they need to have a model. So once they have the model, the next thing is where are you hosting that model? You know, do you have it on a server side or is it on a cloud? You have your own cloud. You know, and then the next question for Web3 is how do you integrate that? How do you integrate that that server side and get it to speak to the smart contracts? You know, what kind of platforms you guys are using to integrate and automate those kind of things? You know, so I think as users, as DeFi, you know, basically DeFi users, you know, we have to be careful because there are projects, plenty of projects out there, you know, marketing themselves AI, you know, but when you talk about these kind of components, they get clueless and they say, all these are just backends. You know, no, this is not backend. As a user, I would like to know what exactly you guys are using. Because if AI is the core backbone of your platform, then, you know, make sure you have those data to provide, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that I absolutely agree. And thanks for the insights there. I loved hearing your opinion on that. Chris, I want to kick it over to you. And Chris, I know like before we talked, we were discussing like, should I call you Chris or should I call you Mai? And I think I've already gone back and forth on this. So
it doesn't really matter. It's fine.
Just want to get background on Curvance. You know, we've talked about ShareYield and, you know, AI integrating in DeFi. And, you know, the other thing we want to talk about is cross-chain interoperability and how that affects the decentralized finance ecosystem. So can you provide us an explanation of what Curvance is?
Yeah, so Curvance, very broadly, we're still kind of like figuring out the best way to kind of encapsulate it very simply. But what Curvance essentially does is it acts as almost like a DeFi front end for all of DeFi. So it can do everything like a lending protocol could do, or a yield optimizer, or a lot of like these kind of position management tools. So, you know, everything from like an Aave or Compound, everything from like a Yearn to a SummerFi to a InstaDApp. You know, it has like native leverage, so you could like leverage up and leverage down spot positions. And it's integrated with a lot of like different infrastructure providers. So things like Wormhole for cross-chain messaging, Circle for moving value across chains, and, you know, a lot of like aggregator tooling like 1inch for swapping. So it kind of unifies all these different segments of DeFi together into one umbrella, and then lets you just do everything underneath that umbrella instead of having to manage, 10 different tabs and 10 different, positions or integrations. Like the example, I would give here would be like, I'm sure a lot of people have, they'll remember their first experience on ramping into DeFi, where maybe you bought some like Ether on Coinbase, and then you moved it to like your MetaMask wallet, and then your like stomach drops until you actually see the money coming through, thinking, maybe I just deleted thousands of dollars by accident. And then eventually the money comes through, and now you're kind of like lost in this vast ocean of things to do. So what that might look like is maybe you're looking at, maybe you look at Twitter a lot and you're figuring out all the opportunities for like different chains you could go on, or maybe you're digging into the applications for like, maybe some community you want to be a part of, or like you want to like do some strategy. Like maybe you're looking at guides on like Medium or God forbid, like YouTube or something. You look at some like Sushi Swap LP guide from like 2020 that's now like out of date. And you're just kind of lost, right? Like Curvance kind of acts as this unified layer where now it removes a lot of that cloudiness, if you will. So like now, if you wanted to do some LP strategy or something on a DEX or something, you need to swap some of that Ether 50% into each of the base positions, approve both the tokens, deposit it into the DEX, the LP, the liquidity pool, and then, usually in some like gauge or yield optimizer afterwards. Now you could just do that in one transaction with Curvance. You don't need to know, you don't need to go to any other sites. You don't need to do all those like multi-step processes. It's just one step on Curvance. If you want to like, maybe you want to do some looped strategy for liquid staking tokens or liquid restaking tokens, you don't need to, borrow, swap, deposit, borrow, swap, deposit over and over again to like build that leverage position. You could just do that in one click with Curvance. Now, maybe you want to on-ramp to a new chain, and you don't know the best way to bridge onto like the latest and greatest chain. Instead of having to like hunt around and make sure you don't go to like a scam bridge site, you could just on-ramp directly to that chain directly from the UI inside Curvance. So it's really just like an all-in-one solution for anything DeFi. Our initial focus is on yield-bearing assets. So I think the main value prop today is we're seeing so much excitement in like liquid restaking, basis trades with Athena, and LPing like for all these high yield opportunities now that the bull market's been back. And you could just do all of that on Curvance. So we expect a lot of usage on those three verticals initially: liquid restaking, basis trades, and LP positions, being able to now borrow against those positions, and then either lever up or use that money elsewhere. And then all your positions are obviously managed as well, like auto compounding, reinvestment back in, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so what I'm seeing here, like even just like similarities between SureYield and Curvance, is another trend that we've been seeing, grow throughout the bear market. And it's, crazy enough, it's this focus on the user experience. And I feel like, having, an AI algorithm that can help manage the liquidity positions to generate yield and stay within those bands is a much better user experience than trying to manage like a Uniswap V3 pool on your own. And then even just like the cross-chain interoperability and looking for new opportunities, from different chains, providing that service to users is another unlock from the usability standpoint, and just making things a little bit more seamless for the users who might not be as Web3 native or tech savvy. And so I also want to just talk about other trends that are going on in the ecosystem that might be catching your eyes, or you feel like our users and audience should be paying attention to, especially as we come close to the Bitcoin halving. Obviously, like I just want y'all to pick one each. And I don't want it to be cross-chain interop, AI. You could pick user experience, I guess. But like, what's another trend that you're really focusing on and that's been catching your eye within the crypto or DeFi ecosystem in general, that you're paying attention to, you feel like others should as well? Dafi, let's start with you.
Yeah, thanks. This current pre-bull market has introduced a lot of interesting new trends. We have decentralized signs, decentralized physical storage. I think one of the key things that projects are really trying to do here is to really make the gap between Web3 and Web2. And then the idea here is that you really virtualize real Web2 services and actually have it on board onto the Web3. So I think really the whole idea of even like the trend on the real world asset as well, RWAs as well. In fact, I think that's probably something interesting. But again, I would say be careful because there's still a lot of gray area. I mean, crypto is gray. Still unregulated. I mean, trying to be regulated. So I would say that there's plenty of these kind of trends that's coming up. So yeah, that's pretty interesting for us to see.
Yeah, so really just focusing on the RWA side is another type of trend that you're paying attention to. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yep. Shout out to Polytrade. Love what they're doing. I think they're amazing. Yeah, I think it's definitely something that I mean, I wouldn't say that it's probably something that we will not do because again, our focus really is just the making sure that we wanted this way to simplify yield farming through staking and managing the liquidity pool through the AI. But that doesn't mean that we couldn't deploy it for other types of asset classes as well. So yeah, I mean, there have been talks as well, projects saying that, could we utilize this backbone onto their own liquidity, so that they can efficiently get fees on their pool. So that's also something. But again, that requires also time because you require data and making sure that, there's enough data to be fed into the model itself before it can actually, be good. I mean, we did almost one full year of back testing and stuff, So it's definitely requires a little bit more time before we could actually start deploying that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. RWAs are really exciting and they're also a bit tricky. And I also love what Polytrade is doing. And also my good friends over at Courtyard.io, another RWA project that I pay attention to. And it is like, you're introducing trust assumptions into an ecosystem where the philosophy has been, we want to be trust minimized as possible. And so then it's like you're kind of leveraging the reputation that like Polytrade or Courtyard has or their partners have in establishing that trust that exists outside of the blockchain. And but they're, even if it's not decentralized, right? When you have these real world assets stored off chain, there are a lot of like operational efficiencies that these projects can leverage that the blockchain can provide. And I think that has the opportunity to open up a lot more eyes and capital into our growing crypto decentralized ecosystem in general. So that's a good one. And Chris, what about you? What's another trend that you're paying attention to?
I think it's like it's probably tokenization of like new things. So what I mean by that, I guess that's kind of similar to like, the conversation around like real world asset, like, Courtyard type stuff, but very different at the same time. Like I'm looking more at things like EigenLayer and Athena, which I find very interesting because it's something we've thought about. Like Curvance unlocks the opportunity to build a bunch of strategies, and we expect people to build tokens, like wrap tokens around those, right? Where like maybe you wrap, some like 2x leverage strategy or some like lending strategy in Curvance and then go do other things with it in DeFi, maybe even cross-chain. But as we're seeing like LRTs really take over the landscape, in a lot of ways, those LRTs are now essentially like, wrapped versions of like Ethereum security, right? Where now they can be allocated to other networks like Omni Network or, I see Redstone's also doing some work around like liquid restaking. So I find that really fascinating. I think also the tokenization of the basis trade with Athena is also very interesting. I think a lot of people have kind of been sleeping on that. And I do think it has, like, you know, they're going to have to be thrifty with how they manage, like, changes in funding rate day after day. But I think they've been doing an exceptionally good job with that. And I think we're going to see more of these kind of tokenized strategies pop up or tokenized, like, kind of, you know, like opportunities, I guess you could call it. And I think that lends itself really nicely to the area that we're looking at, which is like really unifying all this stuff under one umbrella. Because now it's like, well, now you could essentially leverage, and I don't mean leverage in the sense of like 2x leverage or something, but you can utilize, you know, like this tokenized version of Ethereum security now in like essentially like a cross-chain lending protocol that also has all these other features embedded. That's just like a really cool concept and not something that's possible in Web2. So I think as we see more of these opportunities pop up and the market matures with newer, you know, chains and such and newer applications that build all these like novel DeFi opportunities, we're keeping our eyes peeled. Like even things like the work Elixir's doing, for example, with like having like wrapped LP tokens for positions managed inside of like an order book protocol. Now you can have, for example, market makers or even individuals essentially borrow against those managed positions, which is, you know, definitely something that I haven't seen done in Web2. So it's just like creating a lot of really interesting opportunities that now we're starting to see things that aren't possible in Web2 rather than like replications of Web2 concepts.
Yeah, that's a really good point too. And I think that there's a lot of infrastructure being built that's helping to support that type of unique tokenization or even I think vaulting. Like vault strategies is also another term that is kind of loosely used in that sense a little bit. And I think ERC-4626, we're starting to see a lot of adoption of that type of standard that's also helping to drive that type of adoption. But yeah, I think, you know, when we talk about the trends that we're seeing within the DeFi and crypto ecosystem, I think, you know, we're kind of hitting all of them, right? All the important ones that I feel about at least. And that is, AI's integration with DeFi, cross-chain interoperability, better user experience, RWAs is a very exciting trend that we're seeing. And also like liquid staking, liquid restaking, and just general tokenization of new primitives that are not possible in the traditional finance world. And so, yeah, it was just interesting to get y'all's perspective on that. And thank you for sharing. Another thing I want to do is talk about the roadmaps of your projects right now. And then we'll start to get, maybe we'll get into like a little bit more deeper questions about each of your specific projects. But Dafi, let's start with you. When you look at SureYield's roadmap, in your mind and in your opinion, like what are some of the upcoming developments or milestones that excite you the most about SureYield?
As you know, like for sure, Yield, we just launched yesterday, you know, even amidst the whole current standstill of, you know, Bitcoin halvening, we did quite well. You know, we managed to raise about, you know, 60K of our TVL. So in terms of milestone, I would say, you know, being able to grow the TVL to generate, you know, more volume. Just to talk a little bit on the efficiency of our management of the liquidity pools, right? Right now, just with 60K TVL, we are generating about 3.67 million volume on the Ethereum USDC pool on the Uniswap Polygon. So, and right now, the total volume, I think right now for volume itself is almost like 15, you know, almost like we are already doing almost one-fifth of the volume just with this small TVL. So I would say that, you know, as this is regarding to the performance of the AI itself, the more we you know, we could generate volume based on the fees itself that we could generate, there would definitely be the, you know, the next milestone. You know, we want to be able to generate as much volume, even if as if as little TVL as possible, you know, that will show that showcase that the AI is actually working really well, you know. So another thing is with regards to like developments, you know, like, again, you know, I think what I just want to comment a little bit what Mike is doing. I think it's really awesome because at the end of the day, we want to be able to simplify DeFi. You know, DeFi is on its own, it's really very complicated. You have multi-chain, you have multi-bridges, you have different tokens. Like, where do you start? Where do you begin? You know, and I think having an app that actually just purely simplifies it, I think what you guys are doing at Curvex is really amazing. You know, just one-stop shop. You know, everything is there. You know, users can just be there. You know, keep it within the ecosystem. And I think this is also something what we are trying to do as well. So what we want to do is on our next probably development is that we're going to try to do a cross-chain initiative where users can actually deposit from various chains, right? And instead of choosing the pool that they want, like again, for over in True Yield, we don't have like 15, 20 pools. You know, there's only one pool that basically the AI decides either the it's all the blue chip pool, whether it's a red Bitcoin, red Matic, or red Ethereum pool, either one of these three that gives the best volume, the best fees, you know. And the idea here is that users, when they deposit, all they know is that, okay, I have some money on Binance or on, and I can just deploy it, you know. And then where it deploys, it depends on where the AI decides to deploy. You know, there's no need for users to worry about, oh, am I utilizing the funds on the right pool? Am I managing the pool well? Do I have to, you know, keep on rebasing it, you know? So taking all the complexities of all that, you know, having it all done on one app itself, I think that is really the thing that we want to achieve, you know. So I think that's why hearing, you know, my talk about Curvex, you know, that is really something that you also aim to also achieve, you know, basically, you know, having it all in one app, you know, simplify it as easy as possible, make it as foolproof, you know, even a 5-year-old can understand.
Appreciate the kind words on that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And yeah, Chris, what about you? You know, what stands out on Curvex's roadmap that really gets you personally excited?
Well, I mean, definitely. I mean, the first thing is just getting Curvex out there, right? We're starting our private testnet tomorrow, so finally going to get people in the app and actually start messing around with the protocol itself. But I think, you know, Curvex is a group of people that wanted to build an application that we would want to use, right? So I think just the offering of Curvex, you know, excites me because I think it's something that I'm going to be using myself, but also I think a lot of people are looking for or have been looking for. And, you know, there's been a lot of really good development, I think, on the infrastructure side this last year and you know, even the last 2 years as we've been building Curvex, which has facilitated a lot of the innovations we have. But there hasn't been a whole lot of like truly transformative applications that have come out recently. You know, you're seeing like tons of new chains launching all the time, and I think Polygon's done a really good job on this front with the ag layer you know, angle and the CDK system. But for us, like we're you know, looking to build really cool stuff on the application side, so kind of the opposite side of the table there, if you will. And we're hoping that, you know, all the stuff we built, like, you know, for example, one of the things we built is I'll compare it to Uniswap v4 hooks, is our delegation system where now people can build things on top of Curvex to do anything, right? So now you can build like limit orders on top of Curvex, or dollar cost averaging, or take profit strategies, or cross-chain borrowing, cross-chain lending, like any of these kind of you know, one-off integrations, or even like really large scale, like maybe people are building entire protocols just on top of Curvex and they do that through the delegation system. I'm looking forward to seeing what people build with that, because now you could do anything with the delegation system. You can use it very simply for security, where you have all your positions on your, you know, cold wallet, and now you delegate specific actions to your hot wallet so that you know those assets are protected, but you could still manage them. Or, you know, some of these like really, you know, as I would describe, like transformative additions, like limit orders and stuff, where now, like, how cool would it be if you could have something like, you know, you have a bot running that now can top up your, you know, collateral if the price, you know, if your position gets close to liquidation, or maybe you want to enter into a certain position, but only at a certain price. And now instead of having to hunch over your computer and wait for the price to hit your level and then, you know, building the LP position and stuff, you could just have a bot do that for that. So, you know, I think seeing what people build, I think that's going to be really exciting for us.
Yeah, so just like the general composability that that could potentially be built on top of the Curvance protocol is what you're most excited about.
Yeah, I think that as well as like people using the core protocol over the next few months here, because we have our, as I said, we have our testnet, our first round, the private round of the testnet tomorrow, and then the actual protocol will be releasing the beta in hopefully June. So. You know, it's coming together here very quick.
Amazing. And it looks like, you know, if you're listening live and you have a question, please just put it in the comments, because I'm going to get to one right now from one of our llamas, beloved llamas. Llama number 558 has a question for Daffy over at SureYield. He wants to know, you know, what do you define or consider to be, and I'm kind of rephrasing this a little bit, like genuine artificial intelligence, like genuine AI. And, you know, in our conversations, I think I've got a pretty good idea of what you would, how you would define it. But I think, you know, to the llama's point is, I think that we'd be surprised what a lot of folks define or describe as AI. So, you know, when you're talking about AI being integrated into this project, Daffy, like how do you define it?
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned earlier on, you know, two very important components. You need to understand, do they have a learning model? What learning model are they utilizing? And number two here, what kind of environment are they supplying the learning model with? So I think a lot of projects, they can just, you know, come up with codes and just basic scripts with basic parameters, you know, and call that AI. But it's not AI because there is no learning mechanism here. It does not, it's not able to use data that has been fed to efficiently be able to make a decision, you know. So there's a difference between automation and AI because, again, you know, we all start from manual, like even like yield farming, right? I'll call like the V1 of, version one of yield farming is basic manual yield farming. You create your LPs, you stake them, and then you get tokens as rewards, you know, stuff like that. And then the next phase is where you have things like automated positioning, you know. So, they have projects out there, you know, they create algorithms with like, for example, plus minus 5%, you know, in the yield pool. And then that's how they manage the yield pool positionings, you know, something like that, you know. But again, there is no learning mechanism in there, you know, for it to be able to make a decision, you know. And learning itself requires tons and tons and tons of data. The more data we feed, the more information that exists in within the environment, the better the model gets, you know. And in fact, that is the bare essence of artificial of AI, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question, you know.
Yeah, I think it did. And thank you, Llama number 558, for the question. I want to keep the conversation on SureYield for a second, and we're going to start getting into the weeds a little bit on these projects, on the yield generation side for SureYield, for sure, because SureYield enables this feature, which you call double staking, and it's a little unique to SureYield. Can you explain like the workings and advantages over just like the single staking methods?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like version zero, SureYield was supposed to be a single staking platform. So users just stake USDC, and then we utilize the AI utilized the USDC to deploy in the various pool. But we wanted a market strategy because one of the things that we believe in SureYield is that You know, we do not believe in building silos. You know, we believe that we want to be building with other projects as well. You know, we always have this ethos that we are a project built upon projects. And this is where we decided, you know what, perhaps it's better for us to revamp the go-to-market strategy. And why not create something that actually benefits existing projects, you know? So this is where the double staking works, you know. As a user, you come into our platform, you are required to stake two tokens. The primary token is USDC, and then there's a secondary token. The secondary token is made up of some of our partner projects. You know, we have projects like Axion. Shout out to Axion. We have projects like Polydodge and others as well. So that those, and then there's also Matic. You can also use Red Matic. You can also use Red Bitcoin. You can also use DAI as well. Let's see if you're not part of that project, you know. And then what we do is that the USDC, the primary token, which is the USDC, the USDC is the only token that is being reinvested to the V3 pools. The partner token remains staked. So what it does is actually, it actually provide secondary utility to the partner projects, you know. So the partner projects actually will benefit from reduced sell pressure and, you know, for holders, you know, like this is actually a great opportunity for them to use those tokens rather than leaving it idle in their wallet. They can actually pair it up with the USDC in order then for them to earn yields, you know. And we're talking about really good yields that's been, you know, been developed so far by ShoreYield. I think just today, you're looking at almost between like 3 to 4% just from the fees, you know, just from the fees generated from the V3 pools. We do not give any reward tokens. It's a fees generation platform, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for laying that out and describing it, Dafi. I think that was helpful. And then on the Curvance side of things, Chris, I want to ask you, like, when you're building out, and I think ShoreYield will also benefit from this answer since they're looking at some multi-chain strategies as well. Like, when you're building out like this multi-chain DeFi ecosystem, and you know you're aiming to have this like chain agnosticism, like in your mind, like what are some of the more difficult parts or biggest hurdles that you feel like you and your dev or marketing team are trying to overcome, like maybe like on the chain agnosticism, credible neutrality side of things, or just like maintaining functionality across those different blockchain ecosystems? What are some of the hurdles y'all have to overcome?
That's a good question. So I think there's two parts. There's obviously the development side, as you said, like the engineering piece, and then there's the kind of like relationship management side. So starting with the technical side, most cross-chain operations, they use what I would call a top-down approach, where essentially they have some like monolithic structure to their protocol, and then they're kind of retrofitting cross-chain in on top afterwards. So that might be like they're making their token omni-chain, and then they're deploying the protocol or, you know, protocol aspects on different chains, and then essentially people can move that token back and forth, and it kind of replicates some form of like cross-chain, which obviously is a lot easier to implement, but it doesn't have like as large of a feature set as maybe you'd like, and it kind of hamstrings you in terms of what you can do. And then there's like the bottom-up approach, which is that kind of agnosticism that we talked about, where you can, you know, really build cross-chain into the fundamental foundation of the protocol and have like each of those kind of like cross-chain hubs, if you will, communicate without having some form of like hub in of itself, right? Like, so we don't use a hub and spoke model, for example. So what that might look like is every 2 weeks when we're doing like cross-chain, when like the data layer basically, you know, manages all of like the accounting and such for, you know, all the different chain systems, we can have that data aggregated on, you know, Polygon day one, you know, epoch one, then Arbitrum epoch two, then Ethereum epoch three, then Optimism epoch four, then Base epoch five and such. And that really unlocks a lot of like, you know, kind of blue sky in terms of like integrations and stuff. Cause now we can have those like entities, those chains, communicate more directly, without having to kind of like build in the tech later. And this solves the main problem here, which is the actual impetus of your question here, which is like liveliness of chains. Cause if you have, chains that, for example, have like cross-chain accounting and such, where maybe you have like a loan on, you know, Arbitrum that's collateralized with stuff on Polygon. Well, what happens if, you know, Sequencer goes down for like an upgrade, or, you know, someone's like spamming inscriptions and actually, you know, knocks down like block validation for a few hours, right? Like, does that mean you just get liquidated because now it doesn't know your assets are there? Or maybe it knocks down your debt, you know, your, and now you could just like take money from the protocol, or maybe it just locks down the whole chain system. So by focusing on that kind of chain agnostic system, we have accounting like central to each chain itself, but those chains can now communicate. And those messages are separated. So, you know, if someone wants to do some cross-chain borrow on Curvance, you know, they want to move money from Arbitrum to Optimism, it, you know, they can delegate the ability to borrow to a bridge, and then it can borrow on Arbitrum and then bridge those funds over to Optimism. It doesn't matter if Optimism goes down for a month, right? It could just, you know, validate that message when Optimism comes back up. So it fixes that problem of chain liveliness, which is the main engineering hurdle from, you know, at least that's what we've run into initially. And then on the relationship management side, I think it's, you know, there's really like two segments of protocols. There's like, you have the kind of native applications that like, we are the native whatever on this chain, and we exist on this chain to kind of take over this chain, right? So it's kind of trying to be that like big fish in a small pond, if you will. And then there's like the kind of like, we're going to be everywhere for to try to like capitalize on like multiple grants or like multiple layers of liquidity and such, and they kind of just like dump their technology everywhere, and kind of like a band, almost like abandonware, the tech on a different chain, where now there's like lack of liquidity, lack of like native support and such, and we didn't want to fall into either of those camps. So it's been really quite the exercise in you know, the BD team managing, you know, many different lines of communication with different chains and figuring out like who we want to build with, you know, the most, like who's aligned on both like the vision for like, is there like a cultural fit between the teams? And then also like, do, because every chain has different goals and different, you know, kind of envelopes they want to push with what their chain looks like and what they want to champion. And do we align with that vision, right? Because like, we're not, for example, like, very gaming focused, right? We can help on like the GameFi side and such, but like if a chain is very focused on gaming, then it doesn't align very, it's not something we can help with quite as much as if a chain wants to champion a lot of like, you know, like maybe perps focused stuff or real world asset focused stuff or, you know, novel protocols with like high transaction throughput. Like those are all things we could help with and help deliver on that vision with the chain. So when we're aligned with the team, those are now the chains that we're working with directly rather than just like a spray and pray model. So you have like the chain liveliness issue that we've had to engineer around, and then managing the relationships with all these different chains and really kind of like working with the cream of the crop.
Yeah, I can... I mean, and, you know, those are things that we are constantly thinking about, too, on the aggregation layer side, right? You know, chain liveness and making sure that, you know, those chains maintain this their own, like, self-sovereignty in a way. And but also, like, if they do have any issues on their end, that, you know, it doesn't affect any of the other chains connected to the ag layer. And Brendan on our... you know, on the Polygon team is a lot more eloquent in the way that he describes how that works. So I'm not going to try to do it now. And also this is about SureYield and Curvance. So who am I to show Polygon on the Polygon Alpha podcast.
Well, I think the ag layer stuff you guys have been doing has been really cool. Just because, like, it's one of the things that we look at too, I'll say, is we're looking at, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the conversations at, like, the Ethereum Foundation recently around, like, liquidity fragmentation. And, like, now you have a lot of L2s and, like, obviously a lot of, like, chain development kit type stuff popping up. You have OP stack. You have, obviously, Polygon CDK. You have our Arbitrum Orbit and such. And we also kind of, like, facilitate a lot of those actions by kind of being this cross-chain liquidity layer. So I think the way you guys have been looking at things with, like, ag layer and stuff is really fascinating. So definitely pushing things forward.
Well, really appreciate it. And I remember, like, when L2s were first starting to spin up a few years ago, and I had a podcast with the Index Coop that I ran, and I had Anthony Sassano on, and I asked him, you know, what are your thoughts about liquidity fragmentation between all of these layer twos? And his answer was, oh, it's not an issue. And I was like, oh, okay. And it is starting to evolve that way. And I think that was the thought initially, is like, oh, it's not going to be that big a deal. But I also, maybe we didn't anticipate, like, the ease of spinning up a layer two scaling solution and how that actually can silo a lot of liquidity within that ecosystem. And there's a lot of solutions that are trying to solve this. And it's really exciting. Every time that there is a problem presented to the Ethereum ecosystem, it's really exciting to just see, like, all the dApps and builders and community and, you know, thought leaders, like, join together in trying to solve these types of issues. It's just really, really reassuring, in my opinion. So we are starting to run up on time a little bit, and I run a tight ship. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kick it over to Daffy first and then back over to you, Chris. And, you know, just any final thoughts, anything that we didn't get a chance to touch on that you would like to address or tell our audience, please go ahead, Daffy.
No, thanks, Justin. I think it was definitely a very good session. You know, it was really nice to hear, you know, the exchange of, you know, opinions and thoughts on the various things that we discussed. I think on the show yield end, you know, you just want to say, you know, thank you for you know, for joining us in this session, and thank you to the Polygon team for the very great support. You know, really appreciate the support from you guys, and you know, for the users, if you guys have not feel free to check out our website, you know, head over to our Discord, you know, ask questions, you know. We are open, you know. I mean, you know, we practically have followed the Sun model. I'm based in Asia. We got the US guys. We got the Europe guys who are always managing as well. So we are always here to basically answer your questions, you know, with regards to what Shuyil is bringing to the DeFi space.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. Thanks. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Daffy. And Chris, final words from you. Anything that you want to make sure that we address?
I would just say get involved on the Curvant side. So, you know, we have, like, a custom Discord bot in the server now for, like, people to get access to, like, you know, some kind of Discord coins where people can get roles or site themes or, you know, like, potentially merch and stuff. Register for the testnet. We have, I think, almost 40,000 people registered for the partner role period of testnet. So that's, like, a, you know, kind of limited access. We're going to be rolling testnet out the next few weeks here. There's some, like, incentivized stuff with it that we'll be announcing shortly. And yeah, just keep, you know, get involved everywhere. Try out Tetris on our site. We also have version of Tetris we built while we were waiting, you know, or as we were building, like, the protocol itself. And you know,
love that, Chris. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, it has all of our partners.
I was like, bro, there's a Tetris, there's a Tetris game on this website. Okay, why not? You know.
Yeah, so I guess we do tap into gaming as well. So there you go. So we do a Polygon on there. So there is a Polygon Tetris block as well. And yeah, you can mess around with it on the site. So just, you know, get involved with Curvance everywhere. You know, join the Discord, hang out, get some coins there, try out Tetris on the site. If you get certain levels, you get roles in the Discord, you know, and registered for the testnet. We got a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, it's only going to get more and more busy the next few months here.
All right. Well, this concludes our Polygon Alpha panel discussion. I want to say thank you to everyone in the audience for listening and watching. A very special thank you to our guests, Daffy from SureYield and Mai from Curvance. This episode is produced by our executive producer, Smokey Titan, over at Polygon Labs. I'm your host, Justin Havens, aka Crypto Texan, and we will catch you all next time. Thank you, everyone.